the following morning, Mr. Widemouth arrived holding a small box.
"I want to teach you how to juggle," he said. "Here are some things you can use to practice before I start giving you lessons."
I looked in the box. It was full of knives. "My parents will kill me," I shouted, horrified that Mr. Widemouth had brought knives into my room, objects that my parents would never allow me to touch. "I'll be spanked and grounded for a year." Mr. Widemouth frowned.
"It's fun to juggle with these. I want you to try it."
I pushed the box away. "I can't. I'll get in trouble. Knives aren't safe to just throw in the air." Mr. Widemouth's frown deepened into a scowl. He took the box of knives and slid under my bed, remaining there the rest of the day. And I began to wonder how often he was under me. I started having trouble sleeping after that. Mr. Widemouth often woke me up at night, saying he put a real trampoline under the window. A big one. One that I couldn't see in the dark. I always declined and tried to go back to sleep, but Mr. Widemouth persisted. Sometimes he stayed by my side until early in the morning, encouraging me to jump. He wasn't so fun to play with anymore. My mother came to me one morning and told me I had her permission to walk around outside. The thought of the fresh air would be good for me, she said. Especially after being confined to my room for so long. Ecstatic, I put on my sneakers and trotted out to the back porch, yearning to feel the sun on my face. Mr. Widemouth was waiting on me.
"I have something I want you to see,"
he said. I must have given him a weird look because he then said,
"Oh, it's safe. I promise."
I followed him to the beginning of a deer trail which ran through the woods behind the house.
"This is an important path. I've had a lot of friends about your age. When they were ready, I took them down this path to a special place. You aren't ready yet, but one day, I hope to take you there."
I returned to the house, wondering what kind of place lay beyond that trail. And 2 weeks after I met Mr. Widemouth, the last load of our things had been packed into a moving truck. I would be in the cab of that truck, sitting next to my father for the long drive to Pennsylvania. I considered telling Mr. Widemouth that I would be leaving, but even at 5 years old, I was beginning to suspect that perhaps the creature's intentions were not to my benefit, despite what he said otherwise. For this reason, I had decided to keep my departure a secret. My father and I were in the truck at 4 a.m. He was hoping to make it to Pennsylvania by lunchtime tomorrow with the help of an endless supply of coffee and a six-pack of energy drinks. He seemed more like a man who was about to run a marathon rather than one who was about to spend 2 days sitting still.
"Early enough for you?"
he asked. I nodded and put my head against the window, hoping for some sleep before the sun came up. I felt my father's hand on my shoulder. This is the last move, son. I promise. I know it's been hard for you, as sick as you've been. And once Daddy's got promoted, then we can settle down and you can make friends. I opened my eyes as we backed out of the driveway. I saw Mr. Widemouth's silhouette in my bedroom window. He stood motionless until the truck was about to turn into the main road. He gave a pitiful little wave goodbye, steak knife in hand. I didn't wave back. Years later, I returned to New Vineyard. The piece of land our house stood on was empty, except for the foundation, as the house burned down a few years after my family had left. Out of curiosity, I followed the deer trail that Mr. Widemouth had shown me. Part of me expected him to jump out from behind a tree and scare the living bejesus out of me. But I felt that Mr. Widemouth was gone, somehow tied to the house that no longer existed. The trail ended at the New Vineyard Memorial Cemetery. I noticed that many of the tombstones belonged to children.